What is up, guys? Travis Woodham here, of course, with the T-Wood Show. Thank you for listening in. Today is episode number 8, and today is October 1st, 2018, and the USA men's national team just released the 24-man roster today for the friendlies that are coming up October 11th and October 16th. Big games ahead of the U.S. men's national team. Also, what's going on is the U.S. women are actually playing right here in my backyard in Cary, North Carolina. There will be their first round of the World Cup qualifiers are this week, which is awesome. I believe tickets start at $30 a ticket is where it starts. I may have to get a ticket, but unfortunately, I will not be in town. I will be in Atlanta, actually watching my very first Atlanta United game against the New England Revolution this coming weekend. So I'm super pumped about that. My friend Ryan Beatles and I, as well as Andrew Champ, we're all going to go to the Atlanta United soccer game against the New England Revolution, and it's going to be my very first experience of Deep South American soccer. I'm super pumped about it. I'm probably going to be doing a video about that, so be on the lookout on my Facebook page about a video coming out of kind of like a vlog of my trip with my friend Ryan Beatles, my friend Andrew Champ in Atlanta. So that's going to be a great time, I feel like. But this is what we're talking about in this episode. We're talking about the United States men's national team. The 24-man roster was just released, but the games that are coming up is going to be October 11th, and that's going to be against the 14th-ranked Colombia. Javes Rodriguez of Bayern Munich is going to lead Colombia against the USA. That's going to be a very tough match, I feel like, at 7:30 on October 11th on FS1. And for you people who like watching the Mexican network, Unimas, it's on there as well. The game will be played at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. So this is going to be a big game. If you guys are local in Florida, be sure to check out that game, obviously. I would love to go. I won't be there, unfortunately, but I envy you guys who are going to be there live. It's going to be a super cool experience, I'm sure. Then you got Peru. 21-ranked Peru on October 16th. Also at 7:30. But on a different network, ESPN2. And also for the people who like the Spanish network, Unimas is also displaying the game. This game will be played at Pratt & Whitney Stadium in East Hartford, Connecticut. So for those of you who are on the East Coast, be sure to check out that game. USA versus Peru, October 16th, 7:30, ESPN2. But I'm going to go through the roster for you guys, so you guys can be up to date with what to expect the personnel to be for the U.S. men's national team. We're going to start with the midfielders. Then next we're going to have the defenders. And then we're going to have the keepers. And then the forwards last. So I'm just going to read through this list and kind of give my opinion on the selection of these upcoming friendlies. Now, mind you, we still do not have a permanent head coach. Obviously, Dave Sakacharin, I believe. I probably slaughtered his name. But I think he's been doing a decent job so far. With that 1-0 victory against Mexico, that was big for U.S. So going into these matches, it's going to be tough. Obviously, 14th-ranked Colombia, 21st-ranked Peru, quality opponents. So it'll be tough for U.S. men to pull away with 3 points for both these games. But I will be surprised if they do that. If they pull away with 6 points these next two games in October, I will be surprised. Pleasantly surprised. But if we can pull away with a point, I'll be happy. Now, Let's start with the midfielders. We got Kellen Acosta. We got Tyler Adams, who has a back injury right now. Jonathan Amon. Now, this is his first cap, so you probably haven't heard this name, but he's a 19-year-old kid from Charleston, South Carolina. Been playing on the youth team there at the Charleston Battery, or the Charleston Batters, I believe. One of the other two names. But he's 19, and it's his first call-up. So that's big for Jonathan Amon. He's a midfielder. But we got a very surprising guy on this list. Michael Bradley is back for the U.S. men's national team. That is going to be a very interesting selection if Michael Bradley starts. I wonder if he will start or not, but if he does, I can't say that I will be a little surprised if he does. So Michael Bradley being a veteran in the midfielder, or in the midfielder role, it's going to be interesting to see who's going to start. Continuing on this list, you got Julian Green, Weston McKennie, and of course the Golden Boy, Christian Pulisic, Kenny Saif, Will Trapp, and Tim Weah. You got a good, young, athletic, quick 1v1 players in the midfielder, except for Michael Bradley, of course. He is probably one of the more true midfield players, at least a holding midfielder. But you got a good mix here. And mind you, this is a, on average, this is a 23-year-old average team. So the oldest guys on here are Michael Bradley, Brad Guzan, and Ben Sweat, which I'm going to get to. You probably haven't heard Ben Sweat's name very much. But it's a very young team. And I think this is the reason why we have a young team, is because we wanted to kind of graduate these older players out of the way. I think that has kind of the bad taste in the mouth leaving Trinidad and Tobago with a lot of U.S. fans, including myself, of these older players. And I think part of the issue too is that when people think of Michael Bradley now, they think, oh, that's one of the guys who didn't help us make the World Cup of 2018. So there's a little bit of a bad taste in people's mouths, I feel like, with Michael Bradley. I like him, but at the same time, I think it's time for him to move on from the team. I know the value that he brings is leadership and experience, but I don't know if it's going to be his role now. I think Christian Pulisic has taken over that role of the most influential player for the U.S. men's national team. I think kids are going to be looking up to Christian Pulisic more so than Michael Bradley, I feel. But it's going to be interesting. And Pulisic is back from the injury, by the way. So he actually had an amazing assist for Dortmund last weekend, to set up a chip for an amazingly beautiful goal, which was awesome to see that. Pulisic creating space for himself, creating these chances for his forwards to get onto the ball. So those are the midfielders for the U.S. national team going into these next round of friendlies. So let's move on to the defenders. I like John Brooks, and he's on that list, thankfully. He's just a solid guy. I think he's one of the more solid defenders where you can count on him more. I think he's more reliable out of all of them, I feel like. But then going on this list, you see a man named Reggie Cannon. Now, this is his first call-up. He plays for FC Dallas. He's a homegrown player of the FC Dallas. So it's his first call-up as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays for the U.S. men's national team, if he does play at all. It'll be interesting to see. Cameron Carter-Vickers. I like him. He's kind of short, but I think he makes up for it for his bruteness, if you will, or his tenacity, his sheer willpower, his brute force. I like him back there with Matt Miazga. Now, Matt Miazga, if you guys noticed in that game against Mexico, it was so funny to see him go up against this Mexican player and acknowledge that he is taller than this player. It was so funny, but no offense to that Mexican national team, but Yes, they are shorter than the U.S. Team on average, but Matt Miazga wanted to make it a point to let that kid know, yeah, I'm taller than you, so back off. It was just so funny. But Matt Miazga, he's back there. I like him. I feel like he's one of the now young leaders of the back line for the U.S. men's national team. I feel like he needs to really keep stepping up like he has been. I feel like he's had some solid performances. I saw him live play in Cary, North Carolina, against Paraguay, and he played really well. And he also played decently well against France as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does against Colombia and Peru with really, really good forwards. You got Falcao, James Rodriguez, you know, and multiple other guys on Peru, which I don't know of as much. But going down the list of defenders for the U.S. men's national team, you get Anthony Robinson, which I still haven't heard much of about him. Interesting to see him play. And then Ben Sweat is another and final first call-up for the U.S. men's national team. Ben Sweat is an interesting story, guys. You need to read up on Ben Sweat if you haven't. Check the articles about him. He's 27 years old. That's fairly older to be called up for your first cap. I'm, you know, 27, it's getting up there for your first cap. So check out his story. He was basically drafted by the MLS. I think he was like the 14th pick for Columbus Crew, but the Columbus Crew never featured him in the MLS game. And they actually put him out on loan, I think, and ended up on the USL side with Dayton Dutch Lions, I think, and played really well in the USL and finally got noticed. And then New York City FC spotted him, the manager there, and gave Reggie Cannon Ben Sweat, he gave him a chance. And he's been starting for New York City FC a lot this season. I think he didn't play maybe just 4 games so far. So he's been playing really well. And just check out his story. It's very hopeful for players who are older in that 27, 28, 29 range that you can still make your first cap for the U.S. men's national team. It can still happen, guys. It can. Ben Sweat is a living example of that. Going down the list, and last on the list, is DeAndre Yedlin. I feel like he's still a solid defender for the U.S. men's national team. I feel like he is the fire for that defensive line. He will get in the forwards' faces. He will cause some strife, which sometimes you need that as a U.S. side. If you are outmatched on paper, you know, one by one, you need a DeAndre Yedlin to kind of shake things up a little bit, to kind of make the forward second guess challenging DeAndre Yedlin by, you know, botting him up, being more physical. DeAndre Yedlin brings that. And also he has that those moments where he can excel on offense as well. He can get up off that right back position on offense. He can even carry that ball up there, whip some balls in across the face of the box. So he is a dual threat for the U.S. men's national team. I like him. He's getting older, though. It's kind of crazy how time flies, but he's getting one of the older players on the roster. So interesting to see the defenders and midfielders, but now we got the goalkeepers. Brad Guzan is back. Michael Bradley and Brad Guzan, I believe they're... And Christian Pulisic, I believe, are all the players from that Trinidad and Tobago game that have come back on this roster for these new friendlies. Brad Guzan, Ethan Horvath, and Zach Steffen. For me, Zach Steffen is the best keeper out of this group so far. Brad Guzan has been showing some great performances for Atlanta United. I feel like he has been showing up very well. Ethan Horvath, I do not know. I'm unsure about him. He did not have that great of a performance against Portugal. He bottled some easy shots and cost some easy goals. So I think everybody's a little bit shaky on Ethan Horvath. But Zach Steffen, for me, is my number one goalkeeper for the U.S. men's national team. He stepped it up last year in the playoffs for Columbus. in that penalty kick shootout. That was amazing. I believe he stopped like 4 out of the 5 PKs he faced. It was insane. And then he also had an amazing performance against France. He really kept us from an embarrassing scoreline. He kept us from that. And he's been showing up for the U.S. men's national team as well. So I like Zach Steffen as our number one keeper. I'll be surprised if Brad Guzan starts either one of these games. But they might. I think that might trade. I think Brad might start against Peru, and then Zach Steffen might start against Colombia the first game, October 11th. I think Zach Steffen will be the starter. But then against Peru on October 16th, I think Brad will start. But maybe. We'll see. Interesting. Now, as last but definitely not least, we get the forwards. Andrijić Novaković. I believe I also saw him live. I believe it was his first cap in Cary, North Carolina against Paraguay as well. He is one of those slower players. He's not as quick with the feet. So I think he's a little bit more of a methodical type of forward where he will pick and choose his runs. He's not as quick, but I feel like he has that finesse quality to him. So if he, you know, is outside the box, can whip it in and make some good goals. You know, who knows? I think he'll be a surprise to a lot of people. I think he just needs to prove himself a little bit more. And we'll hopefully see a lot more of him during these friendlies. Then you got Josh Sargent, which I like him a lot. Werder Bremen, who's been playing well with them, hasn't seen a ton of time, but he is playing. And I like him. He's that redhead fieriness, furiness, tenaciousness, goal-scoring machine. I feel like that needs to be unleashed every game. And he's young. Josh Sargent, I think he can develop into a scary forward. I like his potential a lot. And then alongside him would be Bobby Wood. I think Bobby Wood would be the starter. He hasn't been playing amazing. I don't know if the Bundesliga for him is the best league for him to flourish. I think he struggles a little bit. He did pick up an assist for Hanover over the weekend, but I think he is one of those players that America is kind of, they're almost there with him. You know, it's like they almost want to fall in love with him, but they're not quite there yet, at least for me. He's just not quite there yet to really rely on him in those late games that you need a goal. You're going to have Bobby Wood go and make something happen. I don't know if he's that player. But Josh Sargent, he might. I mean, I think he might grow into that player. We shall see. It'd be interesting to see what happens. And let's talk about a little bit of the snubs. Like, who got left out of this roster? I think the first one comes in my mind is Jozy Altidore for the forwards. Obviously, he is actually injured. So I did not know this until I researched this on USsoccer.com. But Jozy Altidore is actually injured. So I don't. That's why he is not on this roster for the friendlies. I do like Jozy a lot. I think he has that power, that big body up front that can hold the ball for us up in the final third to create some chances for us. So he will be missed, I think. And I think he would start if he was healthy. I think he would. But he is not healthy enough to be in these friendlies. So it'll be disappointing not to see him play. Grazi Zardes as well. He's kind of the same thing with me with Bobby Wood. He has flashes and moments of greatness, but I think the consistency for him is not there. I think he needs to be a little bit more consistent as far as, you know, making the correct runs, making the correct decisions with the ball. I think he can flourish into becoming a great forward for the U.S. men's national team. He just really hasn't been an elite forward, in my opinion. So I think that's the right decision to leave him off, at least for these friendlies, and give Josh Sargent and Novaković more of a chance to show themselves and to prove themselves to be on this roster. And like I said, as of October 1st, 2018, which is today for me, the roster carries an average age of 23 years, 168 days, while 15 players are under 23 years and under. That's young, guys. That is really young. But the silver lining here is potential is through the roof. You have a ton of potential with these guys, and I'm liking this team. I have a good feeling about this team. I know we lost against Brazil, which obviously Brazil was ranked third in the FIFA rankings, I believe. And they put on a good show. I mean, we did help them, hold them to limited, you know, goals. We didn't get totally embarrassed, I don't think. But we're young, and I think this is the time to try these young players. I think this is the right direction where the U.S. men's national team should go. The only thing really left for the missing piece is November 1st is U.S. soccer is hoping to have a permanent head coach. You got to just wait and see until something happens. There's been talks about this forever, but nothing has really happened yet. And Dave has done a great job of being an interim head coach, but you need that permanent position. It's been way too long. It's almost been about a year, if not a year already. That's a long time. I mean, if there's not somebody with a huge name waiting in line for this job, then why are we waiting this long? I just don't understand that. If somebody can explain that to me, please do. Send me some articles about why we're waiting this long to find a permanent head coach for the U.S. men's national team. Please let me know. I'm ignorant of that maybe, but I feel like we should have that permanent position already fulfilled. But November 1st is that date that the U.S. soccer is giving right now. We shall see if that actually happens. I'm very curious. I think the anticipation is there. But you just wonder, who is it going to be? But that's kind of it for the update for the U.S. men's national team. Again, they play Colombia October 14th. Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. October 11th, 7:30 p.m. on FS1 or Unimass, or both, if you want. Then you got the next game, USA versus Peru, October 16th at 7:30 on ESPN2 and Unimass, Pratt & Whitney Stadium in East Hartford, Connecticut. So these two friendlies are coming up. I'm really pumped about it to see how well this young 23-year-old average team will do. I think there's only positive things from this right now so far. So hopefully our guys can show up and play. Play to the best of their ability and go from there. So I would love to know you guys' thoughts about this roster. If you guys think there's anybody who got snubbed, please let me know. Comment on my posts on my Facebook page at The T-Wood Show. Would love to hear from you guys. And also, feel free to message me on Facebook and ask to be on this show. I'd love to get you guys in on the show and give your take and your opinions about soccer in the USA, how it can be grown on the homegrown level, and also just USA men's soccer, USA women's soccer, anything with US related to soccer. Would love to hear from you. But for me and the T-Wood Show, I'm out. Until next time, guys. See you next episode. Peace.